Can you hear me?
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm doing fine, Stan. I hope you are.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Sitting here eating some nacho chips. I'm doing good, man. So everything's working out good. But the Holy Spirit topic is a very, very important topic to me and to a lot of people. And to some churches, they don't even really talk about the topic that much. They try to stay out of the Holy Spirit topic because they always have, you know, these TV shows where people got the Spirit and they're acting like dogs and barking and stuff, and they're like, oh, Lord, we don't want to have nothing to do with that. But the thing of it is the Holy Spirit don't do that. A lot of times people actually add more to it than what it really is. And I just don't want people to get scared of the Holy Spirit. He is the power behind the whole church. He's the power that Christ sent down to activate the believers. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't even believe in Jesus. It actually says that in the Word. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't even believe in Jesus. You won't know who he really is if you don't have him in you. A lot of people don't understand that in their life. We already believe in Jesus, but who's the one that helps you believe in Jesus and build that relationship? The Holy Spirit. And he has a lots to do in your life. You don't really understand what's going on behind the scenes. But I'm going to go to Matthew 3:16-17. It says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately went upon him from the water, behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm very well pleased.'" And that's when the Holy Spirit went and rested upon Jesus Christ. When he was baptized, see, a lot of people thought that Jesus was going to go ahead and start his ministry without all the baptism stuff. He wasn't. He knew that was one of the main things that the Jewish people would understand about starting his ministry. And he had to meet up with John the Baptist because he was the one that was announcing his ministry. And all that was very important. And right when he met John for that baptism, that's when the Holy Spirit was put upon Jesus Christ. And a lot of things really happened from then on. Right then and there is when his ministry started. And it was a very, very important thing. And it's the Holy Spirit is very important in your life. I mean, I know Robert's got a lot of stuff he wants to talk about tonight. But I know a lot of people that works in the ministry, and they've built a relationship with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which was the same one that was in Jesus Christ. And they've got a strong ministry because of that. They've built that relationship up with him. And, I mean, I saw so many miracles and so many transformations happen to people just because they built the relationship up with the Holy Spirit. And if the churches would understand the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, what the Holy Spirit can do in your life, what the Holy Spirit does in your everyday life, if you just really understood what it was all about, you could really grasp things. But some of the main things is all the healings is done by the Holy Spirit. One thing about Jesus Christ himself, when he came down here, he had to have all the powers that we could get through God. He couldn't have something extremely so powerful that we would have no way of grasping. He had to show us how to walk in the Holy Spirit. When a man that he came down here as had to walk as a man, he had to walk as the first Christian man. He had to walk as the first Christian man. He had to take all the sins on him. Then he had to show us how to walk like that. Okay, so we had to have something to go by. If he never did show us how to walk in the power, we would have no idea. We wouldn't. So he was the first man that had the full thing of the Holy Spirit. And everything he said that he did, we could do also. We could do also. And that's one thing a lot of churches don't understand. They don't understand that part. You know, that we could do also. They don't want us to do like him. They want to, you know, they don't want us to know what we have. They don't want us to know what Jesus did for us. They don't want us to know our son and daughtership of God. They don't want us to know that because, hey, we might be doing more than they are, you know. so it's, you know, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do through you. Now I'm gonna let Robert loose now. You can go ahead, man.
Wow. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the most exciting things that the body of Christ will ever find out is that the Holy Spirit was sent so that you and I, the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Was sent to make you and I the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The original version of Father's first Son of God had the Holy Spirit clothing him in Father's glory. You know, the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel sees a vision, or I like to say he took a trip to the third heaven, and he visited the Father himself. And in his vision, this is what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "And above the verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw, verse 27, the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. Verse 28 says, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the revelation of the glory of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is that man of fire, the cloven tongues of fire that descended upon those in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And on the day of Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit that baptized Jesus as he come up out of the water in the River Jordan, the same vision that Ezekiel saw in chapter 1 of the man of fire, the glory of God, is the same Holy Spirit that baptized those in the upper room, about 120 people that day, after Jesus told them to go and wait on the Holy Ghost. He will empower you. The word empower is a Greek word pronounced dunamis. It means he will give you dynamite strength and ability. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness about Jesus. The Holy Spirit, as it says in the book of John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9 says, of sin, because they believe not on me. This is Jesus talking. The Holy Spirit's ministry is positive. He's come to empower us to tell people, to demonstrate what a son of God looks like, and to complete the package of the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Once we accept the gift of God, the man of fire, the Holy Ghost, the glory of God revealed, once we accept this gift, we empower ourselves to go out and to minister the message of grace and truth with power and authority, just like Jesus did. Jesus said that it is the Father within that does the works through him. Well, it's this man of fire. It is the Holy Spirit that clothed him in the Father's glory, doing the work from within him. That same Holy Spirit wants to come and dwell in all humanity. As we accept Jesus as our Lord, we then should and need to accept the gift of the Holy Ghost so that we can complete the passage and be completely restored to the man that Father desire that we be, or the woman that Father desire that you be, as he created us to be in the beginning. The Holy Spirit came to reprove the world of sin. We who are in Christ are not the world. So I want to make a point right here to point out that even reproving the world of sin is a positive thing. Those who are on the outside of the body of Christ, those who have never accepted Jesus as their Lord, the Holy Spirit is doing what Stanley said at the very beginning. You have to have the Holy Spirit wooing you to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is out trying to speak to your heart and convince you in your heart and in your mind that you need Jesus. You need a Savior. You cannot save yourself. So that's a part of the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to woo those who've never accepted Christ to Christ so that they can become what it says there in that very same verse of verse 8, John 16:8, the righteousness. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to woo those who are outside of Christ to Christ, and those of us who have already accepted Christ, his ministry is like a parent, a mother or a father, parent, parenting us, pointing us to the truth, reminding us of the Word of God, bringing to our memory what Father has said, what Jesus has said, always pointing us to and directing us to the perfect plan and will of the Father. It says in verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. Who's he hearing it from? He's hearing it from Father. It is the Father within who does the work. Greater work shall we do, because the same Spirit that Jesus was baptized in is the Spirit that we receive, as they did on the day of Pentecost, so that we can witness about Jesus. And then signs and wonders follow the believer, because we have been endued with power from on high. We're focused on fulfilling Father's plan and pleasing our Father, putting his will ahead of our own. And part of his will is to restore us. We have been redeemed. Now be restored to your original condition. This is the will of God. And it says in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And here's one thing that I didn't read that I'd like to read, and it's very profound. In verse 13, it says, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to us, future events to help us stay on track, to help us be prepared for things that are going to happen. The Holy Spirit will cause us to know things and be aware of things, because who is he linked into? Our Heavenly Father, who knows everything. He has the power to speak to us and tell us what we need to know to avoid an accident, to avoid a situation and a circumstance, and to come out victorious without being affected by the things that go on in the earth around us. It says in the book of Jude, verse 24, the Holy Spirit is able to keep us from falling. I think that is profound. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, and to point you to the truth, he will keep you from falling. Paul wrote about it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah! The Holy Spirit is turning up the heat within us so that we can live successful as sons and daughters of the living God in the earth today. How about that, Stan?
Amen. It's awesome. You know, they was talking about this on the lot today. They had a minister coming on, was talking about how many times if you walk down the beach or you walk down the road, you hear that little voice in you saying, go and speak to that person about the Lord, or, you know, go and help that person. And you sit there and you try to debate with it whether you should or not, or, you know, look at that person, who they are, should I really listen? And that voice is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, trying to help you to do the work of the Lord. He's trying to get you to actually talk to people about the Lord. And I can't tell you how many Christians that's actually scared to do that. They love to go to the church on Sundays and sit in the pew, but to really talk about Jesus is a whole different story. And the Holy Spirit will actually try to push you to spread the gospel a little bit. I mean, it really have to be a whole lot, just
you know, do you believe in Jesus? And, you know, somebody says no, and say, you know, he brings you love and life. You know, would you want to get to know him? And, you know, just lead them in any way that you can, you feel fit to do that. But anything helps better than nothing, you know. So anytime the Holy Spirit really moves you and you feel that tug, that's him. He's tugging you to talk to that person or tugging you to help that lady out the door. He's tugging you to help somebody because that's what Jesus would do. He's trying to teach you to be like Jesus. That's his whole point, is to teach you to be like Jesus, to transform you. He's not there just to be your waiter. He's there to transform you, to be Christ-like. That's his whole job. And one other thing, there's a lot of people say, well, the Holy Spirit says this and the Holy Spirit says that. The Holy Spirit only says what the Lord tells him to say.
Come on.
He says nothing but what the Lord tells him to say. Actually, in the Bible, it says he says nothing but what he hears. So he will tell you nothing. He will tell you nothing on his own, only what the Lord tells him to say to you.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people who say, well, we've had a long conversation with the Holy Spirit. Well, if the Lord told him something to say to have a long conversation, yes, but if not, it's not the Holy Spirit. So it goes to that route too. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you in many different things. And in my own life, I mean, I saw all kind of stuff, I mean, crazy stuff that the Holy Spirit can do. I mean, there is nothing that he can't do. He can work on the outside of you to try to get messages to you. He works on the he's really on the inside of you, but he can work anywhere he wants. If he has to get a message to you, you will get it, one way or the other. If he's going to have a little something float in front of you, he'll do whatever he's got to get your attention, you know. But he will get your attention, and he will let you know something. And he does know things ahead of time, and he will let you know things ahead of time. But the Holy Spirit is a very wise spirit. He's one with God, so he knows. I mean, he's hearing things from the Father and from the Lord. He's hearing back and forth all the time to let you know things. He works through you, and there's a big thing about here about the anointing. The people that does healing has the anointing. The anointing is nothing but the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We can do no healings but with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do without the Holy Spirit. So it ain't really the anointing, it's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's different areas of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can have him inside of you, but you can't get fully baptized in him. That's when all over you, you're walking room and people can feel it everywhere. It's just like, boom. That's when you're soaking in him. And that's when it just rubs off. Somebody walks by you, they get healed, or they get, you know, they get a joke from the Lord. They need to come to the Lord or something. I mean, they really get tested when they walk by you because the Holy Spirit is all over you. It ain't the anointing or some type of oil that Jesus is pouring on you when you walk in like your salad dish or something. He's just pouring it on you or something. It's the Holy Spirit. He's expanded in you. He's expanded out of you. When you're baptized, he's expanding out of you. He's expanding so much that he's touching other people. So it's all the Holy Spirit. It ain't nothing, no special than anything. Any Christian has him, but, you know, there's a lot of debates about a lot of things, but the first point is the Holy Spirit is everything to you. He's the connection. He's the cell phone to God. He's everything. So one thing that I have learned over a period of time is build that communication with him. You know, as the Holy Spirit, you know, is there anything that the Lord or, you know, does the Lord want me to know? Or just asking questions. He can answer questions for you because he's hearing stuff all day long from the Lord to tell you, and he remembers it. His mind just don't go blank, you know, as soon as he gives you the message, he remembers it. So if you want to know something, ask him, and he will let you know. But just build that communication up with him, and that's where the power comes, is building that communication up with the Holy Spirit. And I cannot tell you how many people that's got that close connection with the Holy Spirit that God works tremendously through. I mean, metals melt on knees. There's instant healings. I mean, I can tell you all type of crazy things that people have built this communication up and built this relationship up. So don't forget the Holy Spirit, folks, because he's living in you. And it's just like I saw an advertisement or a preacher was talking one time. He said, you're riding down the road. It showed this guy riding down the road with this invisible man sitting beside of him, but he's ignoring him the whole time. It's just like the guy sitting there all nicely invisible, just sitting there on his own business, but the guy don't even know he's there. That guy was representing the Holy Spirit. How many times do we ignore him? We have nothing to do with him. He's just something, you know, it's a little fire thing that we see at church, but we don't really have nothing to do with him. We learned something about him in our childhood, but, you know, who knows? We don't really know. Say about the Holy Spirit, build that communication up. Try to get close to him. I mean, when you get close to him, you get close to the Lord because they're all one, as we all know. So just try to build that communication up. And I'm going to tell you, your walk with Christ will grow. I guarantee you it will. It will. And I'm telling you, he's the key. He's the key to everything that the Lord sent you on Pentecost. The Lord sent this to you on Pentecost. And that was the magic, the gift that he gave you. Was the Holy Spirit, and you don't need no more of anything. Once he sent that Holy Spirit down here, poured it out on you or on the world, that was for the church to come, the church of the millennium, I can't say it, but the church of the future. It was for the church of the future for all the generations. That Holy Spirit was enough for everybody. So the day of Pentecost poured it out over everybody. The generations for everybody. So that same Holy Spirit was poured out on that day. It's still here. So you ain't gonna get something special that the disciples, you know, something that the disciples didn't get, because when they've got it, when the first church was started, that was when it was let loose, and it's still down here. It's still it's still saving souls. It's still healing people. I'm going to tell you something unique about the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the power of God, the same Holy Spirit, as we all know, the same Holy Spirit is in me, is in Robert, is in anybody. And if you have that connection with the Holy Spirit and you see somebody get healed by the Holy Spirit, you will feel it in you. You'll feel a tug in your gut because that Holy Spirit in you is remembering that day that he healed that lady of her arthritis or whatever it was. You'll feel that tug because he's in you too. It's like he's everywhere. So he remembers every detail that he's there, every healing that he's ever did to the day that Jesus healed the guy on the mat. He remembers every detail to the, you know, even to that day he remembers. And you could actually probably read something in the Bible that Jesus did and you'll feel the tug because he remembers that too. So, you know, he was all the way through that. And that same one that was all the way through that is in you.
Yeah.
And don't forget that.
Amen.
So you're actually, when you're reading the New Testament, you're hearing about the disciples, you're reading about your people. That's your family there.
That's right.
That's your family in Christ. That's your family in Christ that you're learning about. And the more you learn about these guys, the more that you'll start learning about yourself and what the Lord can do in you that he did in them. It is no different. He will do no different for them than he will for you. He will do the same for you. He will do the very same for you if you just allow him. And when you get that tug, when you walk by that old lady that needs help across the road and you feel that tug, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, go over and help her. You do that same thing. You keep on listening to him. You'll start seeing more things grow in your life. The Holy Spirit will get you to do for Christ. It may be ministering to somebody on the street. It may be taking you on a mission trip. It may be healing somebody's broken leg. It may be letting a blind lady see again. I mean, you never know what he'll grow. You've got to grow to that point. I mean, there's a growing period in the Lord that you've got to go through, because a lot of people ain't ready for a lot of things, but they will be ready for around things once they grow to a certain point. But But the Holy Spirit knows that. He's the one that's got to build you in Christ. He's got to build you into the body of Christ. You know, maybe you just received the Lord yesterday and you're still a baby, but He will grow you. He will grow you up to that full Christian adult if you allow Him to do that. That's only if you allow Him to do that.
Yeah.
Now, when he starts trying to grow you and trying to get you more into the Word of God, trying to get you out to do more, the Word of God is great. But the more you go out with that word, you go out and try to build the kingdom of God. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing is to tell people about Christ. Act like Christ. If you can't really say nothing, just reflect Jesus. Try to do what He would do. You know, love people. Love on people. And try to do the best you can. I'm not saying everybody's perfect at all. But you can try. You know, you can try to change a little each day. I'm going to tell you one thing. You cannot change without the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot change without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to change you. The Lord has to change you. Now, that's a problem of most churches. I even was hearing about that today. We all think we can read a book and our minds can change it. It's impossible. Even the disciples back in Corinthians and all, they all talked about that. You know, no matter what I do, I keep on falling in the same sin I did yesterday. But they have grown through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has to change you. It has to be supernaturally done. You cannot do that no matter what these churches teach you. Well, if you do A, you do B, you're going to start doing better. You're in sinful flesh. It's impossible. Only the supernatural power of God is going to change you. If you never pray, you never have worship time, spend the time in the Word at all, you're not going to change. You're going to stay the same grumpy old person that you always was. That's what you're going to do. But if you spend worship time, spend time, build that relationship, when you build that relationship up with the Lord, that's going to change you more than anything. Because the more you start knowing Him, the more you start realizing when you spend that personal time with the Lord, you start knowing who He really is. Not only through the Word, but you spend your own time with Him, not talking to Him, and He will communicate with you. He did to the disciples. He will with you too, through the Holy Spirit again, through the Holy Spirit. But when you spend that time with Him, you spend that time in the Word, you spend that time in worship. And the thing about worship is not getting the Lord to you, getting you to the Lord. It's breaking walls and barriers that you have around you to break those down where you can be ready to meet Him, to join in with Him. Because a lot of times the worship helps transform us, where we can get to the point where we can actually see Him. He's already here. He's already here with you. He already promised that a long time ago. He said, I will never deceive you. I will always be with you. It's that we just got blinders on. The worship pulls the blinders off where we can feel and experience the Lord. That's all it is.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to let Robert talk a little bit now. I got up on the soapbox a little bit.
We tag team in this thing. Because here's the next couple points I'd like to make. Number one, in John chapter 14, Jesus made this comment to His disciples, to us, because we are His disciples, students and pupils. It says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right, I want to point something out before I give you a little bit of info on that. He says that the Holy Spirit will be a comforter, and that He will come in verse 16. I will give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. See, what Jesus did was Jesus made our temples clean so that they could house the Holy Spirit without measure, just like His temple did. His temple was clean. It knew no sin. So the Holy Spirit could be housed in Him without measure. The Holy Spirit, after we accept Christ, He then can come in us and be housed within our mansions, housed within our temples forever. And this is what Jesus said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless there means I will not leave you orphaned. He will not leave us as orphans. He's going to send us a parent. The Holy Spirit is like a parent to us. He's trying to teach us the things that we need to know. He's constantly reminding us of what Father's saying and what Jesus is saying so that we can hear the word of the Lord and then adhere to the word of the Lord or live to do and live to be the word of the Lord. One of the most recent definitions I wrote down about what the Holy Spirit's ministry in us is to do is this, so that we can be exactly like Jesus and have Father's Spirit working in us. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to reveal Jesus in us. He is the man of fire. He is the presence of Almighty God the Father. He is our ability to successfully live as sons of God in the earth today. He is the power and the authority. He is the healing, the manifestation of Father's glory that the angel asked Father, who is man that you are mindful of him and have crowned him with your glory? This is the very thing that the angel was talking about. Father made us sons, crowned us with his glory, put the man of fire inside his first son. And in his first son's failure, the curse came upon the earth, and the last Adam, Jesus our Lord, clothed in Father's glory, housed the Holy Spirit without measure, came to the earth, became the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and gave everyone the capacity to house the Holy Spirit without measure. That's Father's plan. It always has been, and it always will be his plan to make you and I the complete, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The very same thing that we see in Jesus is the very same thing that Father intends to see through us. He is looking for you and I to walk by faith, live by faith, and trust his way of doing things, his way of right, his way of righteousness, his way to restore you and I, to redeem you and I, and to reconcile the relationship that was messed up with the disobedience of the first son made right through the last Adam, Jesus our Lord. One of the things that people tend to do continuously is think that Jesus' last name is Christ. But the word is a Greek word, and it means anointed one. And then that word was a derivative of a Hebrew word that they called Messiah. It means the anointed one, the one who would be clothed in Father's presence and fire without measure. Nothing impossible to him because he is going to yield himself to the Father. He is going to be led by Father's Spirit in him, and he will not fail because of his allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him. That's what Jude was talking about in verse 24. That's how it's done in us. Yeah, if we focus on the garbage and the distractions and the things that's going on in the earth today, if we focus on satisfying self and thinking that we can save ourselves, that we can do enough good to save us, if we think about that garbage, we're going to fall. It's inevitable. It's not within man to direct his own steps. We need God. We need Father. We need his Spirit. He created us to be dependent upon him. and he gave the first son the keys to ruling the kingdom of heaven on earth, and it was done by his Holy Spirit. The moment his son failed in the garden, he gave up the Holy Spirit. He gave up the presence and fire, the man of fire. And Father said, okay, I'll fix this. I'm going to take care of this. And he sent the one whom we call Jesus, born of a virgin, then empowered, clothed in his glory, manifesting everywhere he went Father's plan for man, Father's will for mankind, to rule and reign alongside of him, clothed in his glory, so that when he looks at us, he sees himself. That's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry, to make us look like the Father, to make us look like Jesus, to make us what it takes to please the Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We got maybe 3 minutes left. At this time, if anybody's never accepted the Lord and would like to do that this time, I ask you just to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
Come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I'm very sorry for all the sins that I ever committed.
I'm very sorry for all the sins I ever committed.
I give them all to you, Lord.
I give them all to you, Lord.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
And I accept you into my heart for eternity.
And I accept you into my heart for eternity.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. If anybody just said, if anybody just said this, the Lord has just came into your heart. And at this time, if anybody's got any illness, I ask you to take your right hand and just place your hand on wherever your illness is. If it's a hurt knee, just put your hand on your knee. If you got upset stomach, just put your hand on your upset stomach. If you got a headache, just put your hand on your headache, just wherever it is, just put your hand there. Okay, in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to heal all of these ailments. Wherever the audience's hands is, I command it to be gone. Spirit of pain, leave now in Jesus' name. I command any upset stomach to be fully healed. I command all intestines to be fully repaired. Pain, leave. I command earache, go. I curse the earache and I command it to go. I command eardrums to be fully open in Jesus' name. I command all sinuses to be fully open now. I can curse the infection, command it to go now and never come back in Jesus' name.
Okay.
Father, I ask you to repair any tore muscles, any tore ligaments, any tore muscles, wherever these people's hand is, I command them all to be healed now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you know where their hands is. I command all illnesses to leave now in Jesus' name. I command all bones to be healed now in Jesus' name. Command all joints and bones and hands to be repaired now in Jesus' name. I command everything to be fully repaired and for it all to be made whole now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Robert, for coming on tonight, and I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. And we should be back Saturday, and I'm gonna get a guest in here, and just stay tuned to Facebook or to the Healing Light Show, and you will see the post for the new show. But I would like everybody to like the Healing Light page on the Facebook, and just on Blog Talk, just press follow. Just let us know how many people are listening to the show, how many people are following the show. And if you follow the page on Blog Talk, you know, it'll let you know of all the new shows that's coming up. But just go to the Healing Light page,
like it. If you got a prayer request, just put your prayer request on the Healing Light page, and we'll all pray for it. God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see you Saturday.
Good night.
I cannot hear your voice. I will God.